Paul, how different does your lineup look with the return of Brian Little?
Well, the structure of it changes. He's go back into the position with Andrew and Mike. When he plays all three situations. You know, real big part of that power play was going quite well when Matthew went down, and then when he went down. Just at the end of the day, it's just quite a bit more depth.
When St. Louis came into town a while back, they were near the top of the league. You knocked them down, did the same thing to Montreal last week. Does this team relish the opportunity to play the top teams when they come to town?
Yeah, I don't know I don't think that that's part of the psyche of the room, that we would change focus or attitude against the best in the league right now. It's so much where we're at and what we need to do to accomplish our goal. But we have, I think, in the last, since March, started to play some of our better hockey against the top teams. That being said, it's a function of your schedule as well, because we just happen to be facing them at this time of year.
When you guys play your game, it seems that you're able to take any team and kind of run them over while you're playing that game. How difficult is it to play that style for 60 minutes night in and night out?
Yeah, I think more gets talked about our physicality than I view it almost differently, that we're able to control pucks with some of our size, finisher checks, but in order to do that, you got to skate and get there, and that's the challenge with Chicago and New York. The teams that skate really well go back and retrieve the pucks well, and their skill level lets them move the puck. So you're not quite as physical as maybe some games look when you play these. It's not, but it's who you're playing. But playing that game for 60 minutes is what we started the year talking about. It's what every team has to do when you're playing. You know, the top eight teams in the league, you're going to have to go for 60. It's such a cliche. You don't get those days off in this league with anybody, and you see it around the league every night.
You're going to have the lineup that Kevin envisioned when he made those trades at the deadline for the first time,
right,
with everybody back healthy. And after tonight, you're off until Saturday. It's going to give you a little rest and maybe even some practice time. Do those two things, more than anything right now, set you up for some success over your last stretch?
Well, you need your best players in your lineup. We have, this will be the first time this group has played together with the injuries and with the changeover. The challenge can be some of that chemistry, right? But we've got players Lowry should be feeling as good about his game as he has all year. Matty Perreault got through that game now and feels strong, so we do have some different, slightly different combinations. But, yeah, there's an excitement there. You could feel it in the morning skate, getting healthier, getting guys back, and in some ways they're not just their teammates, their friends are back in the lineup, and they're excited now.
And what about the rest?
I think everybody's got their issues they deal with. We paid for this rest in November, December, January, and with a pretty heavy schedule. I'd like to take those last five games and spread them out maybe over the last 10 days, but we don't get that option, so we'll use it to our benefit.
Not to pick a point with you, but you know, you
go
said
ahead, Gary.
Said the return of, no, that's not small. The return of Brian Little is more about depth, but he's your number one center.
Correct.
And arguably your best player.
Right, and that puts Adam Lowry, who he and Mark Scheifele. So I'm excited about Brian coming back, but I don't want to diminish in my mind what Scheifele and Lowry just did with your number one center down. You got two 21-year-olds this year taking over that role and excelling in it. So we have depth now in that Adam Lowry, who on certain nights played in that hole and played well, now will play on another line, so we're stronger down the middle. But yeah, you take your number one player at any one position for a period of time, it's going to hurt you.
What are some of the challenges the Rangers' speed game presents?
It's more than just speed. They move the puck well. You know, I mean, lots of teams skate fast, but they'll get that puck up the ice. A little bit more of a straight line game than you saw with Chicago, not quite as much motion in their transition. but they use it to strong effect. They'll move that puck rink wide, tape to tape, off the boards, in behind guys to great speed. So any team with exceptional speed, your game plan is always has to be you can't give them more ice to play on. And we learned that in game two of the season against San Jose, and I've talked about it all year, how we handle those teams with speed, having the confidence to play a tight gap game when you don't have the puck is really important for us.
Trouba and Enstrom are both good to go?
Yep. Everybody that's normally in is in.
Well, this is an extension of Sean's question a little bit, but so much is made outside about the difficulties of schedules, and you just kind of talked about the games and a certain amount of days, but no one seems to care about that inside the dressing room. But from obviously an ideal schedule would help, but the idea of playing against, top teams leading into possibly a playoff berth, does that help with making sure there's no bad habits?
The schedule is what it is. Everybody has their stretches. We have a unique situation and where we're located on the map, but and the fact that we have to play our division makes our schedule a little bit tougher because, the last place team in our division is over 500 by a few games. That being said, we're playing better teams now because we didn't earlier. So the schedule is what it is. You've got to be playing well to make the playoffs in our division, and you've got to be playing well to have any hope to have success in the playoffs for any team, any of the 16 teams that make it. So we just need to play well.
Paul Andrew Ladd has that career high in points now.
That's your question from yesterday.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks for
sorry, I'm going to stick around nice. For it, too.
Sorry, I hope I didn't keep you late.
No problem. I had to go look up the stats after because I wouldn't have had a – I don't think I got a good answer for you now. But
So his career high, is he a benefit of this team getting better, or is he, after 9 years, literally continuing to become a better player?
I think the people that he's played with have helped him. I mean, that's a standard line. But I look at him and Blake Wheeler in kind of the same vein. They would do anything to win. And then so when we came in and asked them to make adjustments in their game or how they viewed the game, they were willing to do that, even though they're both, they're paid to produce. They're paid to put up numbers. And the first thought, well, if I score more, we can win more. But with Andrew especially, he's taken more of that role. So when Little goes down and Lowry goes into that hole, it becomes far more of a checking line. And accepts that, and if he doesn't, if he fights that, then Adam Lowry's not going to be as good a player as he is. So he gets a young player in there, works with him, helps him, and excels at it. That's what being a captain's all about. He's allowed his game to kind of the production of his game to be secondary to the team winning, and excelled in that.
So along that lines, not that it's a bad plateau, but has he plateaued here at his career, or can he still become a better player?
He's just coming into his prime. He's just coming into it. But we won't necessarily look at the stats at the end of the year to decide whether he's had a great year or not.
He's one of those players that's not stats
related. We ask him to do more.